Welcome to the Council Cast. This is episode 165, being recorded on April 27th, 2021. The Council is now in session, and as with every week, we will make arbitrary decisions about topics on science, technology, and random shit.
Random shit.
Gross.
That sounded too seductive.
That was, I'm not sure what that was.
I was like, Kif. It was like Kif was trying to, impress Zap Brannigan.
That's impossible. He would never try to do that.
Random shit.
Great.
And that's your if you want to buy that ringtone, you can email us at councilcast@gmail.com.
Oh man, perfect.
That would be terrible.
And it, you know, at this point, as you know, Councilcast decisions are final. This is now the one and only chance that you will have to get that as a ringtone. You have until you're
24 hours.
So if you're not watching live, you're not getting it.
If we don't make it, you're not getting it.
Be the one person that we choose randomly.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, something that you know, might not actually happen is if you were to have the sun blow you up, then we wouldn't exist anymore. Which is
a good point, Blaine. You make some excellent points in that first opening comment.
Yeah, you know.
Can't argue with that kind of logic.
You wouldn't end up second place either, so. but that's apparently what happened in to Proxima Centauri, which is apparently the nearest star to our own, which has apparently produced some of the most powerful flares on record, which would most likely have destroyed any living people or beings in that universe or in that galaxy.
That's sad.
Can we just have a moment of silence for that galaxy?
I think we should, yeah.
It's our galaxy. Solar system.
The entire galaxy blew up.
a moment of silence and then awkward laughing.
That's how I hope that other galaxies for us when the sun blows up.
That's right.
But yeah, I guess you don't want to be living there, so this is apparently a possibility for any red dwarf, is that they're pretty volatile, which is what Proxima Centauri was, a red dwarf, and apparently the short duration flare, which was detected almost a year ago, so I guess it takes a while for these things to travel, basically produced enough radiation to basically blow away any atmosphere on a planet that was close to it.
Really?
Yeah.
It happened a year ago, and we're just hearing about it now?
Yeah.
We are so behind on the council.
Yeah, I thought this was current news, Blaine.
He never said current news.
Oh, I've been misled this entire time.
Okay, so it happened a year ago, but we're seeing it now?
Because it was a light year away.
Oh, wow.
Which is not a speed of travel, a distance of travel.
There you go.
Is there any danger to us from this dwarf minion sun thing that blew up?
Nope. We're totally safe as long as we did not exist in the habitable zone of that star. So that's not our star, I think we're pretty safe.
Oh.
Well, that's cool.
But we are safe, or the blast radius like moving towards us? Will we feel it?
Okay, so a year ago it did this thing, right?
Yes.
And we're just seeing it. a year from now, are we going to then feel it? Or have something come fly at us?
We will hear it a year.
Will we hear it a year from now?
Yes, because of how much faster light travels than sound.
When will it actually hit us?
If the sound were to travel that far...
I don't understand.
It's a sun exploding. It's a star exploding. Of course, it's going to travel galaxies of the sun. Here's a question for you, though.
Here's a real question.
What if a smelloscope's detected from the blast? Does it smell like?
I'm going to assume it smells like fart.
Well, it's a.
It smells like the 4th of July.
When will we smell the blast? Will that be another year away? Or
since it's a red
is
dwarf.
Is it a year after we hear the blast?
Blast. He said farts, and that's all I can think.
The smelloscope doesn't get invented for another 1,000 years. So, unfortunately, we won't know until...
When we just smell that blast.
On which planet and how far away, and then how many years after the 1,000 years will we actually get to use the smelloscope?
You know what? I'm going to give them a thumbs up for a good, for a good run. Way to go.
Are saying that this may, although it may have killed everything that existed in the habitable zone, it may have also made a clearer path for those new things to survive. So, thumbs up for new life forms, I guess. Aliens.
I say thumbs up for dwarf stars.
Great.
Thumbs up for dwarfs.
Yeah.
I would say since it's a red dwarf, I think it red smells kind star. Of like me.
Great. Excellent point.
Well, something that you wouldn't need to live on that planet that just got blown up apparently is oxygen, because you can now make it on Mars.
I think this is actually a pretty cool article.
This is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
What can you do on Mars?
This is actually legit.
So the Perseverance rover that landed there has apparently created breathable oxygen out of the atmosphere on Mars, basically.
Oh, yeah?
It was able to collect the carbon dioxide molecules, heated them, and created carbon monoxide and oxygen as the result.
Pretty cool.
Oh. So we're starting to generate oxygen on Mars?
Enough for a human to survive for 10 minutes.
That'd be one dope ride, man.
Isn't the thought, though, that a device would be then on a manned mission, be able to replenish their oxygen supplies?
Yeah, that's the idea. They're talking about, to basically carry enough astronauts there, it's like way too much oxygen to bring on your own. So if they can create oxygen on Mars, then they don't have to bring as much with them. And then they could potentially live longer, a whole 10 minutes longer.
Or they can...
10 minutes?
Come back.
What if they used all of the stuff that they need to make oxygen and all there was on Mars was 10 minutes worth?
I could see that being as a potential problem.
Used up. I think that's pretty cool, actually. That's I don't know who thought that up, but that's crazy.
Well, I think we're going to have a lot more advancements in the next 5 to 10 years on being able to actually make Mars habitable, because I'm pretty sure everybody who's still on this planet is kind of like, well, screw this. Getting ready to head out.
Here's a question, though. So if we're trying to make another planet habitable, why wouldn't we just make our own planet more habitable? Wouldn't that be easier?
Have oxygen here, Blaine.
Nope.
We don't need to make more of it.
See, but there are resources on Mars that are ripe for to be exploited.
What are those resources, Dave?
Carbon monoxide is to make oxygen.
How far are we?
Carbon dioxide.
how far are we going and how much money are we spending to get to Mars to make oxygen when we have more than we need here?
No, clearly. See, that clearly is where more you than have the, a misconception is that we need more.
What's causing the greenhouse effect?
Love
is that conception really missed?
Oxygen. Have too much.
Carbon something.
Not enough, and you're gonna die. It's a good song.
Well, I think it's pretty cool that they did this.
It's all
I'm gonna say thumbs up.
More.
More is always better. Thumbs up for more is better.
Thumbs up for more better. You know what? Thumbs up for oxygen.
Thumbs up for not having to breathe oxygen. I mean, that'd be really cool.
I don't think that's what this was about, but sure.
Well, okay.
But you know, something that doesn't need oxygen to breathe is the Linux kernel, which apparently runs on a computer, if you didn't know.
I don't think that's... No.
What is a kernel? Popcorn?
Yes. But apparently the lead senior Linux kernel developer apparently banned the University of Minnesota from supporting it, basically new code to the project.
What?
So, Linux being free open source software, people will send their changes and everything to enhance the code, and this stupid university submitted some code previously that was less than
usable.
It was intentionally not good. Yeah. And then they wrote a paper about it, about how a malicious actor could inject bad code into open source projects. And they didn't tell the maintainers of the project that this was happening. And then they submitted some more code that was questionable in nature, found out that, again, it was intended to be not adequate. And they were like, fuck you, we're done with this shit. You're banned. You can no longer submit anything.
Well, that makes sense.
I say thumbs down for higher education.
And then then the researcher sent out an email all butthurt that, but it was just a prank, bro. Social experiment, bro. Don't get all hurt, man. This was just see your the
I already got an aunt to let me work on this for the next 4 years.
The checks and balances you put in place because of the first time we did it actually worked. So we're like testing your process, man. Good job, bro. You should let us continue. And the guy was like, just fine.
And they're like, the first time you did it?
Oh, they knew the first time because they all read the paper that they wrote about it being the first time that they did it. And the lead researcher like running the kernel was like, no, fuck off. We are done with your bullshit.
Is the kernel short for Colonel Sanders?
Yes.
This is the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
It's all game. About the chicken, man.
Yep. Got it. I was lost from the beginning of this. Linux is shorthand for the breading that they use on the chicken?
Yes.
Oh,
got it.
We're talking about chicken?
Yeah, so, I mean, I understand wanting to do this as a research project. What I don't understand is, like what Dave said, they didn't tell anybody about this. And they submitted real code to a real project that had a malicious nature. And that's what I just don't understand. Like, what the hell was the point?
Honestly, quite honestly, I didn't read the article. Surprise, surprise. But I could see somebody having written a grant proposal to someone.
They did. They had it approved by an ethics board.
Yeah. And they were so they did, and they grant. My guess is they got a ton of grant money to do this, and so their whole job was just to see the Linux system. And now the reason that they're upset is because they don't have a way to complete their grant project and will lose the hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars that they got because they didn't consult with the makers. They had said, can we do this? They would have said, oh yeah, this seems like a good way for us to secure the program. Like, but instead they
secure the workflow.
How can we make this more secure so that we don't have issues with people writing purposely bad code or writing, you know, something that's essentially Trojan horses to mess everything up. But
so is this fault then with higher education, or is this with this particular group, and that they didn't follow some kind of basic protocol?
I mean, they kind of followed the protocol. They submitted for a grant. It got approved by an ethics board to proceed. They went through, but they never consulted the third party that they were involving.
Yep. That's what I mean. So is this like typical of a higher education type of situation, or is it just these bunch of boneheads that did this?
This is the boneheads who did it.
All right. Thumbs down for whoever they are.
Thumbs down for boneheads.
Telling Dave asking me to go and break into...
Thumbs down for boners. Oh, that's not what
happened. And not telling Silas that I'm going to go break into his house.
It's exactly like that. You're right.
Oh, now it makes sense. Yeah. Dave, why would you ask Blaine to do that?
Because I'm writing a paper.
Did you run it by the ethics committee?
Wait, the ethics committee would ask, are you planning to actually steal anything? No. Are you going to do Dave's house? No. Okay, well then, that's like a good idea because this gives Dave the opportunity to write the paper about it.
Sounds good.
Ah, yeah. Gee, guys.
I am thumbs down for Dave and Blaine's plan to break into Silas's place. Wait, what was the article again?
I give this a thumbs down. For the researchers,
this is just okay. Not being
smart. I give that ethics committee a thumbs up for getting that guy fired.
Well, somebody that you might get also fired for is if you deleted all of the files on a university's desktop computers.
Whoopsie.
This is also a prank, bro.
Apparently, the Victoria University of Wellington, which is in New Zealand, apparently, somebody in the IT department decided that they were going to start doing maintenance on reclaiming space on the university network by removing the profiles of students who no longer attended the university. Apparently, they just decided, let's just delete everybody's profile.
click, and then you go, no!
Everyone's profile, really? I did something like that kind of one, where I was working for this day, and he had the startup, but he'd been working for this company prior to, and he had a non-compete clause, yada yada yada. He's like, well, I can start emailing all of these people on this list as soon as my non-compete is up in like 3 weeks. And I was like, great. He's like, can you pull all the emails from this list so that we can start like creating email campaigns and whatever so that we can, as soon as we can push go, we're ready to go. I was like, you got it. And I click some buttons and whoops, I emailed all of those people in the group and with just the subject line, new contacts for such and such business.
Oh,
and
oops.
And nothing came of it. One person in the group was like, oh, what are you up to, thinky face or whatever? like, we all know that you're going to do this. You got 3 weeks. Yeah, exactly.
Wait, 3 weeks? The non-compete was 3 weeks.
The non-compete was a 1 or 2 year or something like that. Okay. And we were 3 weeks to the deadline of expiring. So.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
A 3 week non-compete is basically worthless.
Non-compete in general, basically worthless. So.
So do we know what happened to these people that deleted everything?
Well, the people who had their stuff deleted, apparently since this was at a university, some PhD students apparently lost years worth of data that they had stored on the computers. So that's fun. As far as the people who actually...
My gosh.
I don't know. I'm assuming they're just doing just fine.
I'm sure nothing bad to them at all.
Nothing have. So are these the same boneheads that did the other thing? Same university, right?
Nice job, Logan. Victory Thanks. Royale.
Yeah, they are the same boneheads.
As they left one place and went to another.
Oh, man.
Wait, they're cops as well?
Oh, wow. That is, I'm going to say thumbs down for accidentally doing horrible things like that when you're working on a computer.
You know, thumbs up for making sure you're backups. That's going to be my moral of the story today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty.
Why would they just save directly to their computers? Well, I'm confused how they could delete accounts. Oh, I understand how they could delete accounts and delete everything. If I have, I've set up my G Suite for my company's team, and I go in and I delete one of the users, their stuff is all gone.
Basically.
Got it.
Wow.
I'm
pretty sweet.
Wow.
You know, backups, thumbs down for these guys.
Yeah, I'm going to give them a thumbs up because they probably need a pick-me-up after the no good, very bad, horrible week that they've had, you know, deleting everyone's stuff, getting fired, losing their spouses, you know, not having any friends anymore, not being able to order out food at a restaurant just because of all the shame. They're just having a bad time. So thumbs up, just as a pick me up, not in support of anything that you can.
Fair enough. Well, you know, if those guys need a pick me up, they might be able to actually eat these crayons that are made from rice and vegetable waste.
What? Yeah. Crayons are already edible.
Well, yeah.
Rice has waste.
They say non-toxic, so we all know that makes them edible.
Edible.
Yep. Absolutely. And these might be edible, but I don't know if they're not toxic. How's that?
I like my odds.
So yeah, if you are looking for some different kind of crayons that may or may not be more edible than regular crayons, there's this guy, this company, or I guess a person, on Kickstarter that is making crayons from rice and vegetable byproducts.
Rice and vegetable byproducts. It almost sounds like the crayons that say non-toxic are probably better for you.
The only catch with these crayons is they don't actually color anything. Like if you try to draw with them on a piece of paper, it just kind of moves the piece of paper around.
No, it's vegetable oil, so it just leaves kind of a greasy streak across the page with no color.
Well, you know, they do have a color that's called solid rice bran wax and liquid rice bran oil.
Of course they do.
Oh, that's terrible. You mean poop brown and poop brown? That just sounds terrible.
Browner poop.
Browner
Yum.
Poop.
And runny brown poop.
And runny brown poop.
Yum.
But you can eat it, so.
Well, you can eat the other ones. In all honesty, I'm not sure why you would go to all this trouble.
Right. One time as a kid, one of my friends told me that if you ate a crayon, that was whatever color, that's the color Power Ranger you would turn in. I was like, you know what? I don't think that's probably true, but what does it hurt if I try? Long story, not a Power Ranger, and I'm not the Green Ranger, nor am I the White Ranger. You probably ate them. But man, I wish I were.
Why didn't you eat a red one? The Red Ranger was the best.
Tommy, like, seriously.
He was super salty after the Green Ranger showed up because the Green Ranger was just as good a leader as he was. And, you know, I don't like anyone who's going to be that salty about somebody else having good leadership skills. So that was my rationale in third grade.
I know this wasn't about Power Rangers, but I remember the first morning that we saw the Power Rangers, and I knew instantly it was going to be a hit. It was so amazing. I just wanted to say that. Maybe thumbs up for Power
Rangers. You knew.
Power Ranger crayons.
What was the Power Ranger theme song?
You'd only get the color of the Power Rangers.
Oh, boy.
I give them a thumbs up for making more edible crayons. Why not?
Yeah. Let's eat crayons.
Oh, my gosh.
Thumbs up. Thumbs up for eating crayons. Oh, you could probably make, like, if it's rice byproduct, you could probably make, like, you could probably turn it into, like, a sticky rice something.
It'll be sticky something, that's for sure.
Survival crayons. Mm-hmm. Put them in your backpack in case you're lost in the woods. You can eat these little rice crayons.
If you're lost in the woods, you can get bored, and when you get tired, or when you get hungry, you can also eat them.
There you go.
Yes.
Two for one.
Two for one.
Sounds like something for my kids.
They're already coming to your house, Logan.
Already showed them straight to you.
Great.
Well, you know,
thanks, man.
If you wanted to eat the crayons faster, you could build a giant Kinex roller coaster to deliver your crayons, which apparently this guy did in his backyard. This thing is freaking awesome.
Is it?
Very big. It's very big.
Hold on. I usually don't look at the articles. This one sounds interesting. Hold on.
So this guy, so if you remember the Kinex, there was apparently a Kinex roller coaster kit that used 2,400 pieces to make a roller coaster, and this guy went to the extreme.
Yeah, he did.
A scale model of Cedar Point's Magnum XL 200, which opened back in 1989 in his backyard out of Kinex.
That's cool.
That does sound pretty cool.
It doesn't tell me how many pieces he used, but I mean,
there's a lot of pieces.
The reason it doesn't tell you is because he started building it, and then he was like, oh man, I should have started counting these before I put this together. Well,
one,
I guess I just tell people it
two,
was a lot.
Three. Screw it.
Yeah, he does say
that
he built it while collecting Kinex pieces over 15 years, so you're probably right. He needs to hire an intern to count them all now.
I mean, that's what interns are for, man.
Yeah. I mean, obviously.
Especially an unpaid one.
So unpaid. Can we just say unpaid interns? That's like one of the... I don't know. I liken it to cruel and unusual punishment. I think it's actually should be outlawed. Like, should just be right up there with whatever amendment that is, or whatever. I don't know, something rather.
Somebody to count Kinex pieces.
Pay them a living wage to do that. And then fire them as soon as they're done counting.
A living wage? A living wage?
And then fire them as soon as they're done counting.
You don't fire like a contractor. Your contract is ended, so
you just
pay them
$10.99.
Yeah,
you're a 1099 intern.
Yeah, there you go. Why not pay the wage to count those Kinex pieces? How much money do you need to live for the 8 hours it would take to count all those?
I mean, I think somebody who's fast at counting could do it in like an hour. I'll
pay him for an hour.
Or like that movie with Robert De Niro, you could have a senior intern come
oh,
in.
Oh yeah. He was great. He was giving everyone life advice.
Yeah, he was.
Anne Hathaway was like man stuff. That was a good movie. I never watched all of it. I think I watched about 15 minutes. Man, I liked it. But that was fun.
It was a fun 15 minutes. I watched the trailer. Does that count?
Sure.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I would watch half.
No.
Watch the last half.
Which half? Doesn't really matter.
Hey, thumbs up for this guy. Like, perseverance. I like, thumbs up as well. Nice that is... That's just really well done. Kudos. Well done.
Yep.
Nice job.
Nice job. Yep. Nicely done.
All right. With that, we're going to move on to our Elon Musk pitches for the week.
Yes. Everyone's my gosh. Segment. I've been off for several weeks just like dreaming up the best pitch for Elon, thinking about it real hard. What I want Elon to make is a thing that you can put in your baby's crib that make them sleep immediately.
And
did they have to wake up?
Oh, I was going to say, and not a pillow?
Ouch. Ooh, that's a little dark.
That's making them sleep permanently.
Not immediately.
Come on. Oh. Yeah. Oh, wrong, that was, wrong that was, adjective.
That was dark.
Adverb.
Very dark.
Take that out and post.
I mean, you could make it so they go to sleep, and they're actually sleeping, but they also are asleep permanently.
It's called a coma. No. We're not trying to induce a coma.
Never mind. I don't want to pitch this idea anymore. You guys are ruining my idea. I've never unpitched something, and my decision is final to unpitch that idea.
Well, the council has already decided this is a great idea.
I would like moving Elon forward Musk with it. To create. Really like this
idea because I would like the baby to go to sleep immediately, just not permanently.
That would
immediately.
Be, that you put in the a baby's crib to make it go to sleep immediately.
Yeah.
Yep. And then you just set a timer. Like, I need you to take a 20 minute nap.
Yep.
Ding. They're awake.
For how long you want them to sleep.
Because it's not ever permanently. Make sure that you put that in the notes. Oh, there's not a permanent setting.
Like, no, you took back your own pitch. My pitch does not have that phrasing in it.
Why don't we just have the council just do one pitch, and the pitch is...
No.
I want the same thing, but I want to be able to select... whether it's baby or adult, so I can take a 20-minute nap.
I'm pretty sure that's a bot right there, Logan.
I think that's called universal design, and I like that.
I don't know. I don't think I need anything that makes me go to sleep. I do a pretty good job of my own.
But, like, instantly. You said it's an instant thing where you just, okay, I have got 20 minutes. I need to crash and wake up.
Can we call it Instanap?
Yes. We can.
Instanap? What? Instanap.
But what if you want to take a longer nap?
Then you just set the timer for
one. No, because...
Oh my gosh, Dave, it's so simple. I can't believe you're asking these questions.
Where does it become nap? Where does nap become sleep?
The insta-sleep?
30 minutes and longer. 30 minutes and shorter is a nap. 30 minutes and longer is a sleep.
Depends on REM cycles, right?
The N setting or the S setting.
Can we call it Instaram?
And then there's the R setting, which is for
Instagram. I think we'll very easily get confused with Instagram, so I give it a thumbs up.
We can get some accidental
Instagram.
Oh, hey, Logan, you had that on last time. What is that? Where is that at?
That
is it anywhere near? Is that anywhere near where the red dwarf thing blew up?
It's well, space.
The red dwarf thing.
So
blew
yes.
Up. In the middle of that red circle there.
That's why the red circle is there. Well, that's why I wonder. The red circle is there because the red dwarf star would...
Well, that is up and down.
That is known as the Eye of God, by the way. It's a
really?
Nebula. Yep.
It's a nebula. Okay, I'll look that up. Thank you. Thank you, Dave.
thumbs up to everyone's sleep ideas. The ones that had permanent sleep in their, I don't like those parts of the idea.
No, none of them had permanent sleep in their description.
Yeah,
permanent
not sleep? Sleeping Beauty. Whoops. I did the Sleeping Beauty dial.
Hey. They just did not exclude permanent sleep. It was not a requirement, but it's
it was not. It was also not excluded from the warranty.
Okay, yeah, well.
That could be a side effect.
You know, does this thing also have a sticker on the side of it that says, in the state of California, this may cause cancer?
Yes, it does. Absolutely would.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
Everything in the state of California will cause cancer, apparently.
It may cause cancer.
It may. We just don't know yet. It could happen.
Yeah, well done, everyone.
Yeah, thumbs up for ideas.
Yeah,
I like that. I'm gonna just—I don't even have an idea. That I like that idea.
It would also entail some kind of caffeine injection, so that you wake up alert.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Caffeine. No. It would be injected at the time of falling asleep.
I don't want to be injected. I just want.
Ooh, what if it's tap nap and you just tap, bonk, you're out.
Yes.
No, snap and nap.
And you wake up and you snap it again for another 20 minutes.
Snap nap. Oh, man. We got all kinds of ways to market this now.
Look, right. You can just snap your naps on.
So easy. You can take a nap in a snap.
But, you know, not that many people can snap. More people can clap.
Yeah, but that's not the point. Clap nap.
I have one pitch here. So I think that Elon Musk, so if you've ever tried to hang light fixtures or ceiling fans or anything like that in your house, often are trying to hang something while you're also trying to wire it. So you're trying to hold on to this really heavy thing and you're trying to do the little wires. Maybe you're trying to balance it on something. Maybe you have somebody who can't hold it there. I think he should come up with something that you can attach to whatever it is you're hanging. And it makes it hover there.
Oh, okay.
And then you do whatever you need to do, and then you just like do the attachment, take the thing off, and away you go.
Yeah.
So this is a legit idea, Blaine. Why are you doing this? You're sharing legitimate ideas with.
He had to hang a light recently, and it didn't go well.
No, I thought you were. What if?
If you can have it done by Saturday, that would be perfect.
Wait, so it hovers there?
Yeah.
It causes whatever. You know, like a weighted boom arm?
Yeah.
I was thinking if, like a weighted boom arm. I was thinking, what if it, you had a like essentially a front backpack that had an additional two arms off of it that you could control with, your mind. So it was like you had four arms.
Be attached to me. I don't want it to be attached to me.
Okay. Well, then your hover idea is much better. I'm not sure of how it works because hovering sounds like magic, but I do like magic. And so thumbs up for this hovering light fixture. Can we use it for other things?
Oh, yeah, anything. It can make anything hover up to how I don't know.
Up to 170,000
pounds.
Yeah, to 1,000 pounds.
So... No. It should only be listed in kilograms, and it should be. It can hold up to 6,969 pounds.
If it's listed in kilograms, we'll have no idea how heavy it is.
Exactly.
Kilograms. Gotcha.
Hurry. That's a perfect. That is literally the perfect
6,000.
No, 69,420 kilograms.
Yes. That is the perfect weight.
I don't get it.
420.
Gotcha. All right. I'm very proud of all of us tonight. We came up with a bunch of worthless ideas again. Thumbs up.
Dave, is that really your idea? Just make babies sleep immediately
and permanently?
But Dave.
No, permanent is not a requirement for the device. Where are you guys getting this idea that I want to kill babies?
No, oh, that's me.
Nobody said kill.
Just a permanent slit. Just a permanent nap, man. What the heck? Calm down there. We're talking about napping.
That's what I'm talking about. You guys are saying permanent. I am not saying permanently.
Sure sounds like you're saying it a whole lot right there.
I'm too tired. Good job, everyone. All
right.
This is really good stuff. I've got an idea.
Not permanent sleeping.
That's literally the title. The title
the timer gets
not a permanent nap machine.
Definitely not a permanent nap machine.
All right, what's your slogan?
My idea is for barber mites. You know, little mites that you dump in your hair and they eat all the hair back to your normal haircut and then they die.
That's a great idea.
That's ridiculous.
But I don't really want it to be barber mites. I think I want to call it beard mites, and it's only for beard hair. So you just like shake the jar on your beard, and then down the road you go.
Why are you limiting yourself? You could have.
Why are
a
you calling
whole,
them mites?
You could have array of.
Wouldn't you call them barber bots?
Barber bots doesn't sound like sounds like it's a robot cutting your hair, but these are like tiny itty bitty little like bug. Type things that go in your beard.
Oh, that's disgusting. So these are genetically designed mites that eat your hair.
Well, yeah,
haircut every time.
They're genetically modified for different styles of haircuts. You could have a mohawk barber mite. You could have a mullet barber mite. You could have a crew cut barber mite. You could have.
I think you have to have barber mites. And then you have to have salon mites, and then you have to have beard mites, and you have to have pube mites, and you have to have...
Well, I think rather than pube mites, you would call them...
Brazilian mites.
Brazilian mites.
I see a massive personal grooming empire blooming before...
It would literally be blooming because of the way that the mites would need to be grown.
Yeah.
Brazilian mite.
Brazil is too good.
That's a really good. I like that idea.
That sounds absolutely disgusting.
It does, doesn't it? It's a perfect haircut, but it just gives me the creeps. I can't do it.
They die immediately after they're done.
They die immediately after. What are you? They're crawling around in your head. Oh, terrible.
Oh, you have bed bugs. Oh, no, they're just still cutting my hair.
They're just barber mites.
Oh, barber mites. Oh, great. Do you have any extra? What style are you using?
Oh, do you have lice?
Can you transfer from one head to another?
Well, I mean, as long as it's still alive and able to eat, I suppose it could jump over to the other head.
What if you put the wrong mites in?
Well, you get the wrong haircut.
Well, Oh, I'm sorry, hon. Did you grab my mites? Those are the crew cut mites.
Do you have Brazilian mites on your head? Whoopsie.
Oh, your hair was so pretty and long.
Well,
and
that might
gone.
That might be a good haircut for Brian, the Brazilian mites, but.
Okay. That face. The epitome of unimpressed.
All right, and I think with that, I'm going to call this council meeting adjourned. Thank you.
You always adjourn it one comment too late, like every single week.
And one comment on time.
One comment on time.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We record this podcast live tonight on YouTube. And if you like what you saw and want to check out all of our past episodes, you can go to councilcast.org. You can also search for us on iTunes, your favorite podcatcher. And if you have a topic you would like the council's decision on, you can email us at idontcare@councilcast.org. Or connect with us on Twitter @RealCouncilCast. Thanks for listening, and
Goodbye.
Goodbye.